and welcome to episode 445 of the Jersnet podcast. I'm your host tonight, I'm John McCallum. Jersnet, of course, isn't just a podcast, it's an independent... Jersnet is the independent Rangers podcast made by fans for fans, and it's not just a podcast we have, of course. We have a forum, we have articles, we have social media, and of course we have a history archive, all of which are free. If you do enjoy the podcast, then we would encourage you to subscribe, share on social media, let folk know what you think. Tonight, after another disappointing day, but certainly another disappointing day at Tynecastle, we'll look back at the key moments, such as our starting lineup, on-field leadership, failure to create and take chances, and maybe ask, can January come quick enough? Before we do any of that, though, I just have to mention our sponsors, who are Forest Precision Engineering. They are, of course, a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company, and they have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. And we're delighted that they are backing our podcast again this year, and you can find out more about them by visiting their website at forestprecisioneng.com. You may also be interested in the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, which is a new hospitality area in the main stand. And for more information on how to book that, if you contact the club directly at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. So tonight I'm joined by Jamie and Ross, and they get to follow another miserable afternoon watching Rangers by spending an hour with me talking about a miserable afternoon watching Rangers. And it kind of feels, particularly with you, Ross, it kind of feels like we've done this before. I think you and I were on after the Cup semi-final. I didn't even need to change the script. I just put in, scored out Celtic, wrote Hearts. And the downside about this podcast this week for us is that we don't even get the benefit of laughing at Celtic's new manager. So, you know, Merry Christmas and all that. anyway, look, let's talk about Rangers and the game today. Jamie, let me start with yourself. Team selection. Team selection is always a thing that... you know, everybody talks about it before. Everybody's interested in knowing what we're going to do, how we're going to play. The team came out. You know, maybe Gassama was the kind of obvious one missing that you thought, yeah, he might get a start. Cutlass was on the bench again. You know, it was a weaker bench than we've had for a while. I thought, you know, with hindsight, what did you think of the team selection at the time, and what did you think about it after?
I'll be honest, I was a bit apprehensive about what shape he was going to play before the game. I think he's tried two or three different formations, and he's going to do that. He's just doing the job. He's only been in the job a couple of months. So you're going to try different things out. I'm surprised he went with three at the back against the league leaders at Tynecastle. Totally. I think that was very naive. And I think the fact that he played Magoma and Max Aarons, wide players of a midfield four, I was very surprised at that. I don't think they're good enough. Magoma at times has shown a little bit going forward, but I think against quality teams, like, you know, where he's tested defensively, I think he really struggles. I think Max Aarons struggles the same. I don't think they give us enough going forward. But going three at the back, I think I would have definitely matched up what Derek McInnes set out. He set his stall out straight away with four at the back, two in front of the back four, and three behind Shankland. And I would have just matched them up with that. I really would have. I think we would have been more solid as a four at the back. I think we're still more solid with Raskin and Barron sitting in front of a back four, particularly away from home against the league leaders, as I said, who are scoring goals at will. I think I would have went a little bit more defensively minded. Me personally, I would have gone with that kind of shape. So I was a bit surprised they went with the three at the back. I know we're lacking defenders, but having said that, I would even looked at having the two fullbacks who played actually in the midfield playing as fullbacks. I just think Hearts are very strong at home at the minute. They're firing on all cylinders up front. And our wee pal Shankland gave us a bit of the runaround again. Could have had a hat-trick, and we could have had him for nothing, which is even more bloody disappointing.
We might mention that. So your main gripes were with defence. Forward, you were happy enough with our starting lineup up front, Moore and.
Well, I think Moore and Miowski have got. Yeah, I'm not too disappointed by that. I would like to see if everyone's fit. I think I would like to see Bezrami and Moore probably playing behind Miowski. I would like to have a look at that. I'd still play Gassama on the left. I think he's far more of a threat going forward. I know he's up and down. He's a little bit, you know, hot and cold at times.
He's a winger. Yeah.
But wingers are like that. You very rarely get a winger who performs week in, week out. I don't know what it is. I just think, I don't know, sometimes the game can bypass them at times. They're always a little bit lightweight. They tend to be, what can I say here? How can I put this? What I would say is, wingers tend to be more forward-thinking players. They don't want to track back. And if they're asked to track back and defend, I think they go missing. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of the wingers are so inconsistent. Mm. When they're asked to actually go backwards, it's just a no-no.
Yeah.
And there's very few of them good at both sides of that.
Yeah, Moore does a bit of that. I think Moore's actually not bad at tracking back. It's a big part of his game, you know, that they all need to
Moore's obviously got quality. I like him. I think he's better as a 10. I don't think he's a wide player person.
No, I don't think he's a wide player either.
But getting back to, you know, even the defence, listen, it's the same old thing. How many goals do we concede from set pieces, corners? It's just continuous every week.
Jamie, don't answer all my questions, mate. I've got another four or five we've got to get through before we finish tonight. You can't answer them all. You go away. Just talk about the team. Ross, it was actually a fairly even start to the match. First kind of 20 minutes, I didn't think there was a huge amount in it between the teams. In fact, if anything, I'd say we maybe shaded it, you know, over those first 20 minutes. And then the goal that never was. And it was interesting, as I wrote, when I was writing this, I wrote Fernandez' goal, and I realised it wasn't Fernandez' goal, it was Majowski's goal, which was the problem. What did you make of that goal specifically? I mean, you could talk more generally about the start of the game if you want, but specifically the goal, you know, what did you make of it? You know, firstly, was it offside?
I mean, it's mega frustrating. And it's so frustrating because he didn't need to do it. I think the ball was going in. Fernandez is all of a sudden, he's our biggest threat in the box. That's depressing.
He's the biggest threat in both boxes.
That's exactly what I said to him. I thought he's the biggest threat in both boxes. And so it's mega frustrating because actually to go 1-0 up there after 9 minutes, I think it would have really rattled them. I think it would have been a completely different complexion on that game.
Ghost change games. It's a massive cliche, but ghost change games.
Totally. Now, I have seen some images to suggest that actually perhaps it was not offside. I must admit, the still image that you get from Sky Sports, the lines perhaps look a wee bit diagonal compared to the line of the 18-yard box. That being said, and I know that I'm actually going to annoy myself by saying this, because the law is the law. He's either onside or he's offside. If the offside law had a spirit, right, with a spirit of the offside law, he was offside. He was ahead of the last defender, so he was in spirit, he was offside. It's kind of like, do you remember four years ago, maybe we played Brøndby in the Europa League and Kemar Roof scored a goal at Ibrox, at the Broomlin end. He was offside, right? But he wasn't offside because their defender was kind of stood at a weird angle with his left foot out.
That's right.
But he was offside. So I was mega frustrated by the goal today, the non-goal today, because I think it would have completely changed the game. And I agree with you, John. I think we were fairly composed, actually. I think we were fairly comfortable. And that's not something that these players have shown over the last 3 to 4 months. They haven't really shown comfort. And I think we are full of confidence players. I think that's what Danny Rowe's biggest job has been so far, is to pick these players up after the shambles of Russell Martin and try and instill a bit of confidence and belief in them.
Yeah.
And I think if they had gone 1-0 up within 10 minutes, I think they'd have been confident. And I think it would have completely changed the game. In fact, we were still okay up until they scored. And then the confidence goes, it drained out of them. Yeah. So it's extremely frustrating. That being said, on a more general note, like, I don't think the season rested on today.
No.
I think you know, look at what's happened over the last when the season starts. Look at what's happened since July. You know, you've had both sides of Glasgow changing managers, both sides of Glasgow going through unfathomably bad periods of form. Hearts 12 points clear in the league or whatever it is. It's been so bizarre. And Hearts are okay, were they 6 points, 9 points clear, but 12 clear of us. And yet they also, about a month or so ago, they had a run of 1-5, I think I'm correct in saying. It's been so topsy-turvy. It's been, and it's a real cliche, but I think there are so many more twists and turns still to come after the new year that actually it was a disappointment today, but I don't think it defines the season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Hearts will pick up injuries. Hearts will pick up
Exactly.
suspensions. That we'll see how well they do when they lose two or three key players, what depth they've got in their squad. They're doing well just now. They're doing everything any Hearts fan can certainly ask of them. We'll come to the final result as we go through. My frustration, a bit like your own, it's an interesting point you make about the confidence. I thought we were certainly matching them. I thought Hearts were quicker for the, you know, I thought Hearts were, they were trying to speed the game up, we were trying to slow the game down. And that was in the first 20 minutes. Whereas they were trying to up the tempo, I think we were trying to kind of slow it down. Every now and then they would catch us. I thought they were winning the loose balls. They were just that little bit hungrier than us for that. But another goal from a set piece for Rangers, which is something we've been asking for on here for about, I don't remember how long. I mean, the number of set pieces we get that we just did nothing with, and all of a sudden Fernandez gives us, a serious threat from set pieces, which is something we've been crying out for. Like
And sorry,
you.
John, I'm just watching it back here. I mean, his movement actually to get there is phenomenal. He's strong enough to beat his man. He finds himself
I mean, he was
really
almost completely
free,
unmarked, yes.
completely unmarked because of his movement, because of his strength to get by the defender.
And
I
Hearts
mean,
are good at defending set pieces, actually.
so
Ironically, they're quite good at that.
are we seeing the value of a set piece coach? Because as you say, we're scoring from set pieces, which has been my biggest bugbear over the last 5 years.
I don't know if anyone was terribly excited when we appointed the set piece coach, mainly because nobody knew who he was. He wasn't coming from a particularly high level, but. Something's changed. Whether that's role, whether that's just the fact that we're now playing Fernandez and that he is a danger in the opposition's box, I don't know. I don't know. Jamie, when the first goal came, conceded from a corner. We fell asleep. A short corner is taken, and they've got acres of space. The guy has time to pick his cross. We have not been able to defend crosses, for a wee while now, certainly this season. And frankly, we weren't defending them particularly well last season either. Has our defending improved under Rowe? And I'm going to ask a few questions about our manager tonight, but that's our first one. Has our defending improved? Do we defend crosses better? I know we didn't defend that cross better. We absolutely fell asleep. But has our defending improved? Is that unfair? Because we're playing well. I don't know. Maybe Sterling would be one of our first choice centre halves, but
I think at the moment Sterling's obviously he's definitely in the frame for starting, simply because we're lacking defenders. But getting to your point, John, in a nutshell, I don't think we are defending better. And you just mentioned the set piece coach there. I hope you can take Fernandez aside and have a word with him about a bit of aggression in my own box. Because I'll tell you what, that first goal comes in, he's wrong side again. He's starting position as a defender in his box. He's out of position again. This has happened 3 or 4 times. He's definitely a threat going forward in the box because he's a big guy. He's attacking balls in the box and he's scored 2 or 3 headers now from set pieces. But I'm sorry. If he's my centre back, I want him winning headers in our box defending
Can
first.
that be taught? Is that a kind of thing that can be coached? Or is that something you just centre halves either have or don't have? That sense of possession?
I don't think you can. Listen, there's no way you can teach aggression in people. You cannot teach aggression. You can't improve speed. You cannot improve somebody's will to win and desire to go and win a ball. And that's what we lack. Any ball in the box, as I said, it's been happening for long enough. off now. Every manager in that league must be saying before the game, any chance at all, we get balls in the box because they cannot defend.
Yeah.
There's no leaders at the back. And we
There's
need
not many in the middle or the front either, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately, yeah. Mate. We you know, we'll come to this probably later on when we look at January. And we need a spine through the team who's going to really go and win tackles. As I say to my wee fella when he plays football on a Sunday, don't tickle, go and tackle. And that means go and put a foot in where it hurts, son.
Yeah.
And go and win the ball. Show some desire.
Yeah, so, I thought Hearts showed more desire. I thought,
you know,
I did.
And we've lacked that. And you can see it in teams. Hearts come out in the second half. And Derek McInnes, I know Derek well, played with him in the reserves at Rangers. Know him really well. And I think they missed a trick on Derek, to be honest. He knows the Scottish League inside out. Oh, I loved him to get a shout at Rangers. And it's just, I don't think it's, listen, I don't see that boat. I don't think the boat's sailed yet. I think that'll come at some point. If he goes and does really well with Hearts this year, and we're talking about Hearts being top of the tree at Christmas, and trust me, I've had dealings with Tony Bloom at Brighton, for players at Brighton. He will back them in the transfer window. If he hits, he's got a sniff of Champions League football, he will throw money at Derek McInnes, trust me. And I think Hearts, I'm telling you, he'll throw money at them and they could win the league this year. And I actually think it'd be refreshing for both sets of fans, for Rangers and Celtic to get a real shake-up to really boost us, because we've been resting.
Well, I think
the
it would be good for Celtic fans to get a shake-up, and I feel I've had enough shake-ups.
100%.
Had enough shake-ups over the last 10 years.
Hey, it was a good shake-up last week. Seems to have done that. It was brilliant.
Ross, goal number two came shortly after, 5 minutes or so later. We lost two headers. Took a high ball in, their boy wins the first header, their boy wins the second header, and then Shankland sticks it in at the near post. Is that poor play from Rangers or just good play from Hearts? What was your take on goal number two?
I'd say goal one and two look like good play from Hearts. I thought goal one and two, they look like lovely moves. They look like things that have been worked on at the training grounds. Goal two in particular was poor from us.
Yeah.
Really, really poor.
You shouldn't lose two.
And it's
headers.
Not, yeah. To lose
you can lose
headers,
one, actually, but you shouldn't be losing two.
It was the first one that annoyed me more, because have you seen with the first header, the way that Fernandez, I think it's Fernandez, he delays about whether to come and challenge or not. And that sort of half a second of delay, he then decides to go for it. He's never getting there.
No.
But he peels off Shankland. He peels off Shankland at 18 yards.
Yeah.
It's suicidal. And so actually, the second header, the defender, I can't recall who it was.
Tav, actually. I think it was Tav.
Tav's done in the edge of the 18-yard box. He doesn't even challenge for it.
Yeah. He's not tight enough. He's not close enough to challenge for it. And that's Tav switching off. And that's Tav not being where he should be. And we've been saying that, if we're honest with ourselves, we've been saying that for 10 years now.
Yeah.
But it was the first one that annoyed me, because it was so amateur. You could see the guy making a decision. Should I stay? Should I go? I better go. And he gets nowhere near it. And he peels off Shankland at the 18-yard box. Shankland is in acres of space. Now, that is all, you know, really, really poor defending. From where he gets the ball, though, or where he takes the ball to him, from the position where he takes the shot, never should be scoring from there. Absolutely never should be scoring from there. Jack Butland, who I think has been one of our better players this season, and Jack Butland, who I defend quite a lot, I think he's a really good shot stopper. I don't like his distribution, but I think he's a good shot stopper. Really poor. Right, that is unacceptable goalkeeping. And it kills the game.
Yeah.
You know, that you've gone from 0-0, comfortable, had the goal chalked off, get to half time, get them regrouped and go again. In the space of what, 3 or 4 minutes, you're two down going into the break, and it totally changed the game. It gave them a boost. It lifted the noise of the crowd, and really, really frustrating.
It was such a poor goal. We've spoken about Butland before, and the thing about him is he'll pull off two saves, you know, in our next match that are absolutely world class. He's not often beaten up that he's near post to that. You know, we've seen him. We've seen him make mistakes. Let's be honest, we have seen him make mistakes. I was surprised at that one. I don't know. I think he just was expecting, I don't know if he was expecting a cross. I don't know if he was expecting it to hit for the far post. They just got caught out. But a poor goal for any goalkeeper to lose. Not just Butland. I think any professional goalkeeper has a point in getting beat at the near post like that. There are times, and I've seen Rangers teams do this, but there are times when teams will say, you know what, we need to win the second ball because we know we're going to lose our fair share of first balls. They're actually quite good in the air. You know, they've got a thing, the diagonal comes in, that boy is good. He'll win his fair share of headers. So, boys, you need to be switched on for that second ball. And that actually was the one that frustrated me, was the fact that, right, okay, but the guy who's won the header, I mean, he's 30 yards out, or whatever, 25 yards out, but he's won his header. I mean, there's plenty of time to clear that danger. And it actually was the second one that frustrated the life out of me. Like you say, Tav was not, just wasn't close enough. If Tav is tight on him, he can't make that header. He can't lay that off. If he's tight on him, he can't do it. And it just was a pain of a goal but if you score it, you're pleased with it because, you know, they knew where their players were. Their boy, you know, Shankland made the run. Braga saw him making the run from the Hearts point of view, it was a good goal. But I thought it was a poor goal for us to lose.
Yeah, I think you have to say that their front three or their front four, they linked up really well all day. I think that was the difference. That was the difference, is that the disconnect between our midfield to our attackers being able to penetrate. You saw it with both of their goals. The wee back heel to the boy to put the cross in for the first. It looked great.
And just knowing to take the corner quickly. We're still asleep. Yeah. We're still, you know, no one's taking control of us. Yeah. No one's shouting, get out there, close that down. We're letting them take a short corner. And it wasn't even that short. I mean, we call it a short corner, but I mean, he still had to pass it 20 yards.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that short. But, he didn't just stick it in first time. 2-0 down, Jamie. Did you feel at that point that we were going to come back? And I asked that question because I didn't, I'll be honest with you. At 2-0, I thought, I can't see us scoring two goals in this game now.
Timing of that second goal was crucial.
Yeah.
They got that literally just before halftime, which obviously, getting in 2-0, you're looking at them. Can Rangers come out and score three in the second half? Big ask.
I would have taken a draw today. To be quite honest, I would have taken a draw today. I would, you know, at the start of the game, I would have taken, you want the win. I'd have taken a draw. My view in December has been stay in touch. You know, stay in touch. Harder games, Tynecastle, Parkhead. These are harder games. Stay in touch until January and then let's see what happens in January.
Yeah.
I would have taken the draw, but I couldn't see us scoring two goals in that game today.
No, as I said, they scored, honestly, the crucial time. They scored just before half time. So they're going in 2-0 up. And Derek McInnes is obviously, you know, and amongst them at half time saying, look, we've got them rattled now. We've got myself two goals in front. We just keep playing the way we're playing, keep playing in their half. But Rangers are like that at the minute. I just think if that's 1-0 at half time, their kind of confidence. We touched on that earlier at the beginning of the show, top of the show. They're such a confidence team at the minute. They go a goal down and at half time, it's a different game. And to be honest, I thought the first half an hour today. I thought they more than acquitted themselves in that game.
Yeah.
Because I took the lead. Bajorski doesn't even need to touch that ball, by the way.
No.
That's going in. A good striker just leaves that. He knows he's right on the post. He lets that go in. You're 1-0 up. You've got the ascendancy. Goes against us. It was offside. It was a yard, maybe just half a yard offside. It was offside, unfortunately. But he doesn't need to touch it for me. But being a striker, he's going to stick his leg out. All strikers are saying they want to score.
Did you think we were coming back at 2-0, Ross? Did you feel, we can come back into this?
No, honestly, I didn't. I thought there was a chance we could scrape a point.
That for me, the reason I asked you that as well, Ross, was I was just curious to know, because that's the three of us said that, no, we didn't see it. And that tells you something about, the leadership. And this is something that you mentioned earlier on, Jamie, and I've heard a few other people mention. That tells you something about the leadership of this team, that none of the three of us rather thought, you know what, 2-0 down, 40 minutes gone, yeah, we can come back. None of us thought we were going to come back in this game. And that's a reflection on the leadership on the pitch. Not the manager, but it's definitely a reflection of the leadership on the pitch, because you couldn't see who's going to lift us, who's going to do that wee bit of brilliance, who's going to put that tackle in that gets us back up again. You just couldn't see where that was coming from.
Mm.
At half-time, Chermetti came on. He did score, to be fair to him. He did score late. But I guess my question is, and I think you more or less answered it before I've asked it, whose forward line would you have preferred today, theirs or ours?
That to me, John.
That's to Ross. Sorry, that was to Ross.
Well, sorry, that's me being pensive. I would prefer theirs. Absolutely, I would. I think they have recruited well. I think Claudio Braga is a good player. I think Kizaridis is a good player. Shankland, I don't like talking about Shankland. We should have had him. We should have had him, but we should have had him 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Not 12. And I keep saying it. Every time I say it, oh, it's too late now, it proves that it's kind of not. But I still, my problem with Shankland is that I think Shankland is actually, and I don't think people are like this, I think he's a similar player to Dessers. He scored a goal today that he never should have scored, and he missed two chances that he should have buried.
Yeah.
But we should have had him. We could have had him leaving Ayr United. We could have had him leaving Dundee United. And we didn't. And I am the worst. I am the worst for anti-Scottish player snobbery, right? Never wanted Lewis Ferguson. Never wanted Josh Doig. Never wanted Mulligan.
Hated Arfield from memory.
Hated Arfield. Well, he's Canadian. He's Canadian, famously. So I'm really bad for it. We should have had Shankland. We should have had him 5 years ago, and we didn't. And then we could have had him 3 years ago, and we still didn't. And we probably should have got him 18 months ago, and we still didn't. And that's because of folk like me saying he's not good enough and all the rest of it. But to answer the question, of course, their front line is better. And the way that they've gelled, because they've brought new players in, they've gelled really quickly. The link-up play is good. They are on the same page. Our players are not on the same page. How many times do you see a Raskin or a Barron playing a through ball for a striker that's just decided to cut back and it rolls harmlessly out of play? They're just not linking up properly. The caveat to that answer, though, is that I still think, actually, that the front line that Hearts have, I'm not sure they're actually Rangers quality. I think we should be doing better than that. We're just miles away from where we should be. I mean, how bad are our strikers? Majowski, again, he offered nothing. Absolutely nothing. Chermiti, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I think Chermiti is my favourite of the three at the moment, because I think he actually works a bit harder. Danilo is petrified of a tackle, absolutely terrified of anything physical.
That's a bit like saying, do you prefer being punched in the face, punched in the stomach, or kicked in the balls?
Choosing
which one of those three is your favourite. Yeah.
I would have been less kind and said gonorrhea, chlamydia, or crabs. But
you would have more experience of those things. The first three, I understand. The second three, I'll leave with you.
Where's this conversation going?
look, we're so bad up front. I actually looked at some stats, though, and if you want to go down the sort of hipster, arsey stats route, we created more than them. We had higher XG than them. We're just not scoring goals.
We had a higher XG than them today.
We had, according to the BBC, I'm sure that we were 2.2 and they were 1.6 or something like that. Yeah.
The problem we've got is we had a little bit more possession today, but listen, possession doesn't win you games.
No.
We had only two shots on target the whole game.
That's why I'm amazed that we had that XG.
That cutting edge.
I didn't think we looked like we were going to score.
I think they had five on target. Shanks could have had four today.
Yeah. He should certainly have scored at least one more.
If he had took half his chances, he'd have been happy today. And he scored a good goal. Listen, like every striker does, he's just took a chance and he's hit a half volley.
Yeah.
And he's caught Butland totally off guard at the near post, who's not expecting that shot. But listen, for us only to two shots on target, that's nobody's good enough.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you've got up front. Right, you should be creating more chances in the final third.
It's the thing with Shankland, the argument and the back and forth, and I know quite a few Rangers fans who've said Shankland's he's not good enough. He's not good enough in that I don't know if he is not the finished art. He is not the best striker that ever was. But he is a guy who you could have signed for nothing.
Yeah.
Or for very little, 12 months. 12 months ago, you could have gotten for very little. There's someone you could have gotten for nothing. He's a guy you could have got for very little, who would have settled right away. You know, he didn't even need to move house. He would have settled right away. He knows the league. And he knows how to score goals in that league. You know, in some ways, the comparison with Dessers is interesting. It's quite a good one. I actually would probably compare him more to Boyd. Different type of player from Boyd. Different type of player from Boyd. Shankland isn't maybe the guy who's going to score you the winner against Celtic. He's maybe not the guy who's going to do it for you in Europe. But you still got to beat the other teams in the league. And that's not something Rangers have been doing for the last two or three seasons, and Shankland definitely would have helped for that. You know, you'd have got him, as I said, you'd have got him for very, very little money. When you see that, our three forwards are something like £16 million it cost us. It's insane. The whole Hearts team didn't cost £16 million.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think the stadium cost £16 million. You know, you're thinking, how did we manage that? How did we get the forward line we've got and they got the forward line they've got? And, you know, you're right. You know, individually, the guy Braga was signed from Norwegian football. You know, he's competent, but he's hard working and he knows his job.
I think you've just touched on it, John, there. Listen, I watched all the games, and Rangers lack heart. They lack desire all over the pitch. And I'll be honest with you, they just don't want it enough.
Yeah.
There's people running around out there. And I mean just running around.
Yeah. And you wonder if...
No purpose to the game. They're not putting challenges in. They're not closing down the balls. Now, when we played, we were always taught, thinking back to when Walter Smith was coach, Walter would tell you, if you close down when that ball's travelling to a player. I'm watching the Rangers team at the moment. Rangers are actually closing down now when that player's took a touch.
Yeah.
They're not anticipating where the ball's going. They're not reading it enough. They're not quick, you know, to second balls. They're not even winning first balls. There's no kick ball that can bite all over the pitch. There's just not enough arsehole in the Rangers team at the minute. There's one or two. Wee Baron. He'll always get you 9 out of 10 for effort. He's not got enough quality going forward. He's never going to get you 10 goals a season.
No.
He's not going to hit a killer pass. But I'll tell you what, he's got desire. And he covers plays the grass. And he puts a lot of the boys to embarrassment. A lot of them are running around there. And I'm telling you, they're kidding themselves on.
2-1, Jamie, would you say that was a fair reflection of the game?
2-1. I thought, listen, it could have been more. As I said, Shankland on another day could have had four.
Yeah. So, that's the question I'm asking you. Do you feel there was one goal between us? Or do you think, you know, actually the gulf is bigger than that? Or smaller than that?
No, I thought we got away with that one. I thought we could have lost that 3-1 today. On the piece, we could have lost the goal. And Chirmiti took his goal well. But you come back to talking about Chirmiti there. I mean, they could have had shanks for nothing. There's a guy that said, listen, he's not a finished article. He's not going to light up Rangers' goal-scoring records in Europe and all that. But let's be honest, we have to look at where we're at this moment in time.
Yeah,
we are struggling in the second tier of European football. As are Celtic. As are Aberdeen. Scottish football at the minute is on demise for me.
Yeah, well, so look at the results in Europe.
Look at home.
Tells you everything you need to know about the league. Say,
can Shankland make a difference to Rangers up front? Undoubtedly. Now, you go and sign Chirmiti for that kind of money. My God, there's got to be questions asked there. I'm not surprised Kevin Fairway was gone.
Yeah.
Because that was a joke.
To have signed him once for that kind of money is surprising. Wow. To sign him twice for it is, you know, that really does require some sort of steward's inquiry. Ross, a lot we've made of Rangers under Danny Rowe, that, you know, we were unbeaten in the league. Today was our first defeat in the league. And actually, I hadn't even realised until today that it was our first away defeat since Boxing Day, I think, of last year, which I have to say, that did really surprise me. But under Danny Rowe, our first domestic league defeat. In truth, every team we've played has been in the bottom six, except for Hibs, who we've played twice and beaten twice. Now, the first time we played them, I thought we were pretty lucky to get the victory. Don't think we were lucky the second game, to be fair. I thought we were the better team the second game. But the only top six team we've played is Hibs.
Yeah.
And then we played Celtic in the Cup and lost, and we've not won any of our Europa League games. What's the real picture? What's the real picture of Rangers currently under Danny Rowe? You know, lies, damned lies and statistics. You know, the two big domestic games that we needed to win, Tynecastle today and Celtic at Hampden, we've lost. You know, there was certainly some extenuating circumstances in the Celtic game. You know, he wasn't long in. You know, Celtic picked the referee. But today, can't blame the referee today. You know, I don't think there's any, you know, you can, we could, I've got some friends who are completely certain that that wasn't offside, that first goal. I'm not completely certain that it wasn't offside. I don't think it was offside. What's the actual picture just now under Rowe? What do you think he's achieved? You know, where do you think we are compared to when he came in? What do you think is the realistic picture? We've got Motherwell are sitting third in really good form, playing, by all accounts, playing good football. A team well-drilled, a team who know what they're supposed to be doing. A team that is greater than the sum of its parts, unlike ourselves. We've got them in, what, Boxing Day? Which, you know, will be our next game against the top six team. Where actually are we just now, Ross? Where would you benchmark us?
I actually think he's doing a good job. And the reason that I say that is because it's not even that he's bringing a knife to a gunfight. It's like he's bringing a piece of paper to a gunfight and he's trying to paper cut his opposition to death. We are so impotent. We just do not have the tools to succeed in the Scottish game in terms of the playing staff. Yeah. I don't think he's perfect, right? There's a few things, though, that I do really like about him. I really like that he will change his system, his tactics. He will do different things to try and win a game of football. And I think we've seen that, and I think we've seen it work. I don't think you can take the Celtic game too heavily, because I think the referee in that game was a disgrace. Yeah. That Austin Trusty thing, I'm still not over it. I think that the problem is the players. I really believe, or even if it's not, I don't think it's fair to judge this guy based on the playing squad that he's got, because and I normally wouldn't be so generous, but the situation of our playing staff at the minute is so, I mean, egregiously awful. It's unfathomably bad. The caliber of players that we've got out there, the mentality of them is completely shot. I just don't think it's fair to try and assess what Danny Rule's been able to do. I actually think, I mean, purely statistically, it's better than under Martin. Now, with respect, the three of us could do that job on a job share and do better than Russell Martin, quite easily, I'd have thought. But, you know, I know that there's been some criticism over Danny Rule's team selection, for example, but who the hell is he supposed to play? Now, today, arguably today, we didn't have enough width, right? But our width would come from probably JD Gassama. Please tell me when he last had a good game. Right? Please, when did he last score? And Finlay Curtis. Finlay Curtis seems like a lovely lad, but he's not good enough to play for Rangers. And I know that's cruel because he's 18, 19, 20, whatever.
18.
He's not good enough, in my opinion. I don't think it's fair to try and assess this guy as a Rangers manager, given the tools at his disposal. Unfortunately, the damage done in the summer, I think, was so bad that this isn't a one window fix either, certainly not a January window fix. I think this needs a complete overhaul in the summer. I think we get four in January. We build the spine, as Jamie said earlier, get a spine in January and tear it up in the summer and start again. And how many times have we said that, by the way, over the last 6 years? It's appalling.
Yeah. Where do you think we are just now, Jamie? I mean, do you think that was a misleading statistic, the fact that we were unbeaten domestically? Do you think that maybe lulled us all into a false sense of security?
I think there's a little bit of that, John, to be honest. I did mention it the last time I was on the show. I wasn't getting carried away because I looked at the opposition we'd beat. And we played all the teams in the bottom of the league. We played Dundee, we played Livingston. We played, obviously, with respect, Falkirk are doing quite well, but they've just been promoted. We played them twice. We played Kilmarnock. You know, and as you mentioned earlier, we got a good result away at Hibs, Easter Road, 1-0. Which, you know, we took at that time. We were just glad to get a clean sheet. And that was the first clean sheet Rangers had in a year. Believe it or not, away from home. A year for Rangers Football Club to keep a clean sheet. And then we beat the, obviously, Hibs last week as well. 1-0. But listen, he's getting into a run of games now. We've played all the teams, the bottom six teams.
Yeah.
And you touched on it earlier, John. The games have been beat against Roma, Celtic and that. I don't think we kind of expected anything against Roma, to be honest. But he's going to run a games now where he's going to be tested. Now, hats off to Danny Rowe because he's having to work with what he's got there. And I don't think there's a great squad there at all.
No.
In fact, I'll be honest with you. I looked at the bench the other day there and there was one or two that I kept off the bench. There's a couple that's maybe unfit, like a Suter. I'm not a fan of Suter either. It looks like they're going to offer him a new contract. Bajrami, I would keep. And I'm looking at the whole squad. I'll be honest, John. And Ross, I'm going Butland, I would keep. Definitely. Sterling, I think he adds a wee bit of bite and a bit of pace to our back four. He's obviously needing games under his belt to get a bit more match fitness. Barron and Raskin. Then you're looking outside.
I would sell Raskin this time. I just think he's off the ball. I don't think he played well today. I don't think he's been playing well.
He's definitely got one eye off the ball. There's no doubt about that. He is looking. They've had offers. They've had two offers that I know of.
Right.
100%.
Well, I would accept the next one. And I just think you use that money to build. You know, I think we have cover there. I don't think Diomande, I don't think Cameron, I don't think Barron are as good as Raskin. But they are just now, because Raskin's not playing well just now.
Yeah, he's definitely looking over his shoulder and thinking he's definitely playing as if he's, you know, looking elsewhere now.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And when you get that situation, it's probably best to move them on. But again, timing. I mean, did they hold on to him until the summer, to the World Cup? His valuation will probably be at least 2 or 3 million more.
Yeah.
Money talks. Mm-hmm. For me, I would hold on to him to the summer, personally. Gives you a bigger purse to spend next summer.
Yep. I mean, talking about, okay, let's have a chat about January. Let's talk about that. Assuming, and it's certainly not a given, but assuming that we are still in touch, whatever in touch means, but if we win our game in hand, I think it's 9 points behind Hearts. In by January, that's assuming we can win the other games. Now, the Hearts are playing Hibs for next game. That's no gimme for them. But let's do wishful thinking. Let's say we're still in touch. Ross said there, you know, he thinks we need four signings in January. I think we need at least four signings in January. We're at least four signings away. You mentioned a couple of times now, Jamie, about the spine, and it. The spine, both literally the spine of the team, the centre halves, the centre midfielders, the centre forward, but also metaphorically the spine. You know, bringing in people who actually have that will to win, bringing in people who win the second ball. You know, who will win those tackles, who snap into those tackles, and that's missing just now from Lard. You mentioned Barron, and I agree with you about Barron. But for me, the fact that Barn looks like our best midfielder just now is a damning statistic because he is a limited player. And
Totally
the fact
agree.
that he looks like our best midfielder is tells you all you need to know about the way we're playing just now. And you know, I think we're at least five players short of if we're serious about making a challenge this season, I think we're at least five players short. A couple of things to throw your way, which you may or may not like. Stuart Finlay and Cammy Devlin are out of contract in the summer. Now, I think Finlay, there is a kind of an agreement that he'll because he's an Oxford, I think he's an Oxford player just now, is he? Kilmarnock player just now. I think there's an agreement he'll sign. But he's out of contract in the summer. One time Celtic reserve captain, apparently. But he's out of contract in the summer. Cammy Devlin, who's one of these players I absolutely hate. But I might like him if he played for us, if that makes any sense. But I hate him when he plays against us. He's having a great season. He's out of contract as well, apparently. Gogic at St Mirren. One day someone will explain to me why nobody else has ever signed him. I don't know if he's got a serious flaw in his personality. I don't know if, you know, there's something in his past or something, but why he hasn't been signed by a Hearts or a Hibs even, you know, why he still at St Mirren
Well,
baffles
he
me
was
every time I see him.
originally at Hamilton, then he went to Hibs, didn't he? And then he went from Hibs to St Mirren. So, John, I've got a couple of players at St Mirren. I've watched Gogic at least half a dozen games this season. So I've got the other boy, Jamaican boy, Richard King, who plays centre-back there. So I've watched them quite often. And what you get with these teams, and by the way, I love Steve Robinson. I had him at Rangers. Called it 6 months ago. Just not a big fancy enough name. Again, we're not looking close to home. There's two guys in the Premiership in Scotland. He's one of them, and Derek McInnes is the other one. They know the league inside out. And I'll tell you what, he gets the best out of St Mirren. He's honestly, his passion going up and down that touchline. He's like Mikel Arteta. He's up and down directions to players, getting right in amongst players, giving them a bollocking when they need a bollocking, giving them a fucking arm round the shoulder when they need an arm round the shoulder. That guy is a top drawer manager, and he doesn't get a chance at a big club simply because he's not a big fancy name. And I'll tell you what, you got Gogic. He's exactly what we need at the back. I'm not saying he's a bit like Shanklin for me. I'm not saying he's not a long term fix. He's definitely a short term fix. I get him in for a season or two, and I'd get him round the young guys at the back. To lead them, communicate to them, tell them where to be. And I watch him every week, and he does that week in, week out for them. And if they went and got him in January, they're probably going to spend 500 grand on him.
Yeah, well, that's my point here is that if we
Nothing.
sign four or five players and we don't have, you know, we spent a lot of money in the summer, so I'm assuming we don't have millions to spend. That's three players you could probably get for £500,000 in total. You know, I don't know, Hearts might say no. No, we want more, we'll keep them, we don't want to give them to you. But, you know, the point is that you get them under a peak contract. And you know, Hearts might then change their mind and say, okay. But you could strengthen that Rangers team just now without spending an awful lot of money. You know, and I know none of those are names that will excite anybody. But when you look at what Hearts did to us today, when you look at what how St Mirren are playing, you know, do we need to look a bit closer at home? Or is the expectation that Rolle is going to look, you know, to where he knows Germany, you know, English Championship? And do you think we're going to, do you think players are going to leave? I mean, I looked at the today at that bench. No Antman, no Asgard, no Rothwell. Rothwell hasn't kicked a ball, I don't think, under Rolle. You think surely there are guys we could move on. You know, Rothwell, there will still be people in the Championship who would think, yeah, you know what, I'd take him
I think
back.
Rothwell's definitely going to go. That's a fact. He's not featured for weeks on
And
end.
you think he's a guy we could sell. I think, you know, he's a guy we'd be able to sell probably what we bought him for, or not a lot less. Asgard as well, I would drive him to wherever it is he's going. But he's a guy I think they could probably still get their money back on. I think English Championship, there's a team there that would take him. Antman, I don't know. I still think there's a player in there, but
John, you could go through the full squad. And we could do that in a minute.
But I'm
Right?
just thinking in terms of
I'll
players that
ask
we would
you,
actually be
yes
able
or
to
no.
sell just now.
Jack Butland.
You know?
Would you give him?
I think again, if someone came along and said, you know, I'll give you 4 million for him,
Right.
I'd probably
Tam.
take that and say, fine, let's play Kelly.
Right. Butland, I would keep. Tav can go. Fernandez, I'm really not sure. I just think he's a bit of a bomb scare. I don't think he can defend. Magoma, I think all the loans can go for me, apart from Moore. And you look through the whole list. I mean, you're struggling to think who would you keep? And I would, but honestly, Butland, Sterling, Barron, Raskin, and then you're looking over your shoulder and you're going to possibly, you know, one or two on the bench. But when you look at a squad at 20, and there's only six players I would keep in that squad, at 20 players, that says it all for me. A
And
massive.
that level of change you can't do in one window.
Not
That
cool.
level of change has to happen over two, three windows.
Absolutely.
But the four or five signings that we all feel we need just now, where are they coming from, Ross? Where do you think we're shopping in January?
I think that, again, the received wisdom, because I don't know that we necessarily know that the received wisdom is that Kavanagh and Murat and Greta Steinsen are going to be much more hands-on with the approval of signings this time around. You might think that's a good thing, you might think it's a bad thing, but it's certainly a different thing to what happened in the summer. And I think that they will have felt burned by what's happened over the last 3 to 4 months. I think they trusted Kevin Thelwell and they trusted Patrick Stewart far too much, right? And that's led to them, that's led to where we are today. So I think that it's possible that if those three are in charge of signing off on the deals, and obviously we've just seen this chap, the is it a
Norwegian,
Norwegian chap that's come in as the football advisor or something along those consultant. I really hope, and I know it's not just this simple, and I'm oversimplifying it, but I really hope it means that we're going to look further afield because we have had success, or Scottish clubs have had success buying from Scandinavia, buying from further east in Europe. You know, I still get really excited by us when we do our shopping in places like Croatia. And then it turns out we sign Eros Grezda and it's all terrible. But I still think it's the kinds of markets we need to be looking at. We've done well in places like Belgium when, you know, to take yourself one step down from an Anderlecht or a Club Brugge, but we've got Fashion Sakala from Belgium. You know, it's those kinds of places I'd like to see us shop. I'm not sure it's necessarily appropriate for us to be buying from the likes of Japan, Australia, or the States in a January window. Whether that's because, you know, if you're buying from the States, for example, maybe their season's not going to align with ours. I think when you're coming that far away, you probably need a good pre-season to really settle. So I would like to see us be a little bit more creative. Scandinavia seems like a good place to start for me.
Well, you know, bringing in Bjørnby, you can't help but think, well, this is a Norwegian, you know, who knows the Norwegian league clearly and knows the Danish league. That I think was his last club was in Denmark. Now, obviously, those leagues are also looking at players outside of Scandinavia, but you can't help but feel he surely knows the Scandinavian leagues, and I guess financially, that's certainly a market we could shop in. Salary wise and that size of thing, there's definitely potential. Certainly wouldn't be a ridiculous place to be shopping in.
But I mean, I think if you look at our best, who have been our best signings in recent years? Morelos came from Finland. Igaman came from Morocco, of all places. Fashion Sakala came from Belgium.
Who found Egerman? How did we get him? Who
That's a good
knew about
question.
him? Did Clement know about him? Was that one of his contacts, or was that someone, behind the scenes? Was it one of our board? Did an agent just send a video one day and somebody thought, hey, there's a player there? I mean, does anyone
Normally,
know?
John, that's the way kind of things are done sometimes. You get agents who, I'm in the game myself, you basically send videos of players that you've got to
Because,
play.
as far as I'm aware, we don't sign too many players directly from Africa. And
No.
certainly I haven't heard us linked with any other Moroccans since then. So was it just,
No,
a bit of
sometimes it
luck?
can be ad hoc. You can get videos and stuff. So I've done it myself. You send, you know, you get a list, you've got the emails to. I have got, you know, Dan Purdy at Rangers. I spoke to him recently. And I know there's four positions that they're looking to strengthen straight away. As left back, centre back, I don't mind telling you. Right midfield, and a number six. That's what they're looking at for January.
We don't want another, we're not signing any forwards.
Doesn't look like it.
It's going to be a long season.
It doesn't look like it, John. I'm afraid to say that that's what I've basically heard from the hottest horse's mouth. That's the fourth position they're looking to strengthen.
We do need a left back because we only have one and he doesn't play for us. You know, he's on loan. You know, we do need another left back. I know we can put, you know, I know Sterling can play there. But we, you know, we need a proper left back that belongs to the club. I would agree with that entirely. And number six is interesting. You know, are we?
That
means somebody's leaving.
That suggests either one thing to me or another thing. It could be Raskin's leaving in January.
Yeah,
look to replace him, or do they think keep Raskin till the summer and get top dollar for him? And they may be thinking, like you mentioned earlier, John, is Conor Barron good enough?
Yeah,
it could be that.
Yeah, and it may be Diamandé. Maybe that somebody fancies Diamandé.
I looked at the whole squad, and there's six players in that whole squad of 20 that I would work with. The rest I would just get shot of.
Yeah,
you can't do it in one window. We know that, but listen, in fact, I'm sure you guys will probably agree what I'm going to say here. If I was Rangers at this moment in time, in the window, maybe not January, but I would go with a philosophy of signing three players maximum there every window. And if they'd have a war chest of 15 to 20 mil, I'd spend it on three players. And the three players would be right through the spine of the team.
You spend £15 million on three players?
Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't do this. 9 or 10 players on mediocre players is an absolute waste of time. Right? Go and get three marquee signings. People that know football. It's people that can play under pressure at big clubs. Right? Go and get a centre-back, a centre-midfielder, and somebody up top, right through the spine of the team. And then the following season, you do the same again. Within two seasons, you've got six marquee players on big dollar, quality players, no mediocre players, no 9 and 10 players that Russell Martin brought in. Too much change is too soon, and the quality of players that they brought in were nowhere near Rangers Football Club.
That's my concern, though, is that the players that are in that £3, 4, 5 million bracket, you know, those are the ones that haven't worked out terribly well for us. Asgard's, your Danilo's, you know, these are guys.
It's because of the recruitment. The guys in charge at Rangers over the last decade have been absolutely clueless. These are good business guys, and no harm to them. The business guys, you know, like Douglas Park and that, lovely guys, know how to sell BMWs. They don't know how to deal players and trade players. Totally different game. They don't know football and they don't know quality players. And I'm sure for me and like everybody involved with Rangers, whether you're a fan, whether you're a player or whatever, I can guarantee you that now 100% Rangers need a Graham Souness or an Ali McCoist involved in the board who know footballers, who know what it takes to play for Rangers Football Club, pull a jersey on, show a bit of arsehole every week, play under pressure, can roll your sleeves up and fight for a jersey. And there's not enough of that at this moment in time for Rangers Football Club. There's no one near it.
Guys, we've eked an hour out of 95-odd minutes of misery at Tynecastle. I hope you've not been too dismayed by tonight. I hope it's not been too bad. And we might beat Motherwell and then the skies will be blue again. You never know. Stranger things have happened. There's no show until next Sunday. I think it is Rob, Colin and Scott. So there's a Santa's little helpers coming on and putting on a show for you next Sunday night. In the meantime, Ross, Jamie, it's been a pleasure. It's been great for you guys to give up your Sunday night and Ross, it's been good for you and I to sit and talk again after a Rangers defeat. One day, we'll get to talk after a Rangers victory.
One day. I mean, you said
we've been doing this for about 9 years.
Episode 455, was it? I mean, how many of those has been me and you completely miserable?
So I don't know. That actually may be the issue here. That maybe just don't let you and I ever come on again together. Yeah.
Let's hope Santa Claus, John, brings us three quality players for Christmas. Eh?
Yep. Well, I had him down here to bring us a centre half and a couple of forwards. turns out he's bringing us a left back and a number six. So, well, there's always next season.
Yeah.
So, to all the listeners, I don't think I'm on again this year. Thanks very much. Thanks for supporting the pod. Thanks for coming on. We really do appreciate it. There'd be no point in doing it if no one listened. Actually, we probably still would do it if nobody listened. But you know, it's better when people do. So thanks for that. I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
And when it comes, I hope you have a nice time, whatever you get planned. Let's hope for some better days ahead. Good night, everybody.
Good night.